You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to tonight's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, November the 5th. It is our last show before the midterm elections. I want to thank everybody who called in on last week's very special 18-year anniversary broadcast. What a fun show that was. But tonight, it is back to business as usual in a very big way. We're glad that you're with us. It is our midterm election preview show. And we're going to be talking first with that seer of seers, that prognosticator of prognosticators, Brad Griffin, the editor-in-chief over at Occidental Dissent. Brad is with us live from Alabama right now. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to continue the discussion in the second hour with Jose Nino, a freelance journalist based in Texas. He writes for Big League Politics and other websites. And then closing out the show tonight, we're going to be talking about the noticing with John Friend, associate editor of the Barnes Review, all of the news that is news regarding Elon Musk, Kanye West, and Kyrie Irving. Lots of stuff going on, my goodness. Just check out Twitter. If you can, of course. Keith, we got a big show tonight. We got to get to Brad. Are you ready? You locked in? You ready to go?
I'm ready for the Nostradamus of the Alabama Black Belt.
Well, here he is. Brad, always great to have you, my friend. How are you tonight?
Doing great, James. And Keith, how are y'all?
We're doing fine.
Well, Brad, you have been covering it par excellence. And I say every time that you're on, OccidentalDissent.com is one website that I go to every single day. That is not hyperbole. I'm not blowing smoke at Brad. It very well may be my favorite site on the internet. And you've been covering a lot of things, as you always do, but specifically how the midterms are shaping up. Now, when the Supreme Court spiked Roe earlier this year, there was some conventional wisdom thinking that they made, that might animate the left to get out and vote. But if trends are any indicator, it is looking like, Brad, that next Tuesday is shaping up to be a very dark night indeed for the overeducated and sanctimonious so-called progressives. What do you expect on Tuesday, Brad?
Tuesday will be a good to great night for Republicans. They'll take the House easily and almost certainly the Senate. As to what the margins are, I don't know what that'll be. I'm not going to go out on a limb. I think there'll be a massacre at the state level in terms of all these state legislature races that are going on. And we'll probably see some surprising, defeats for Democrats in places like New York or Oregon. I don't know about Oregon, but maybe New York. That, you know,
that's what I was going to ask you, Brad. You think we're going to make pickups in blue state America then, the Republicans?
Oh, definitely. What this looks like to me is like, I would just say it's a normal midterm election. It's a normal midterm election, which is always a backlash election, but you got inflation and all these other issues like that are aggravating the situation, like crime and immigration and gas prices and all that. And it's just going to, it's a normal backlash midterm election. And when that happens, either side will, you know, normally perform good in the other side's territory. It's nothing unusual.
Well, off year election in that regard, but you have two other factors. One, you have the inflation, you have gas and energy problems that you normally don't have. Plus, what the left is trying to tout as their get-out-the-vote issues are so absurdly, you know, woke, things like transgenderism and, a woman's right to abort her children and things like this. I just can't even imagine that in New England even, those type of things are going to really animate people to come to the polls.
Yeah, it's exactly like you said. It's a normal backlash midterm, but like, the last time we had a backlash midterm would be 2018 midterms when Democrats took the House and Republicans actually picked up Senate seats in the 2018 midterms. But back then, the economy was doing pretty good. People were happy with Trump about the economy, and his approval rating had went way up. And Joe Biden is down there, and I think Jimmy Carter territory still. So this is going to be more devastating.
What has stirred up the left to take these absurd positions? Is it Trump derangement syndrome, or what is it that, you know, they have really put the pedal to the metal on the, you know, most extreme parts of their agenda now, mm-hmm. and they're not backing down a bit. I'm sure you tuned in and heard some of Biden's speech about coal yesterday.
Yeah. Well, one theory of it is that college-educated millennials graduated from Ivy League universities who are concentrated in big coastal cities are running the Democratic Party now, and that's why, you know, there's in such a bubble that they take all these absurd ideological positions, and they just can't see how that's landing in the rest of the country.
Well, you've talked about that, Brad. You've talked about our democracy, which is a trademarked thing for the left now. Democracy with a capital D.
A weird phrase.
Yeah, it's something that exists almost primarily on the left coast and in the Acela corridor.
It's like an alternative universe they've created for themselves.
But they can't see how this thing plays with the rest of the country. And so I'm reading now from Patrick Basham, who is a Democracy Institute pollster, and they've called some things quite accurately. And he writes that right now we are somewhere in between a red wave and a red tsunami. We project them, the GOP, to win over 250 House seats, could be as high as 255. It might even get higher than that. It's looking like a storm. And they're predicting, Real Clear Politics is predicting, that the GOP sacks the Senate as well, which I don't think really a lot of people were thinking, even under the best of scenarios, and by a margin as high as 3 or 4 seats.
Yeah. What happened was that most normal people don't pay attention to politics like we do year round. So most normal people are thinking, you know, the economy sucks, everything that's happening in this country sucks, and they tune in that last two after Labor Day. And that's really when what happened was is that it looked like a red wave year all year until the Dobbs decision, and that stirred up a lot of the Democrats who had. Joe Biden had lost a lot of support amongst Democrat and independent voters who were frustrated with him. And those people came back on board, and they gave him and got really active. But then, like, once you get in the last few months of the election, when swing voters and normies have to make up their mind, they're like, yeah, toss them out. So that's what they literally always do in the midterms. They always punish the president's party. So now it's back to red wave territory. Last before came on the air, I noticed that Colorado Senate race is a toss up, and Washington and New Hampshire are toss up. So, I mean, if it's a red tsunami,
you mentioned that you have Hillary Clinton campaigning in New York State, the
Obama in Arizona.
I've heard that. Arizona is a swing state. Yeah, Arizona. Oregon and Washington State, like the gubernatorial race in Oregon, is supposed to be close. They may lose a seat that was just entrenched in Washington State. This is listen, you can hear this stuff anywhere, though. We're going to get to the stuff with Brad that you tune into this program to hear next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789, or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Mm-hmm. Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
So we're talking with Brad Griffin tonight in TPC's midterm election preview broadcast about, well, right now what's going to happen. And what it looks like is going to happen is that the GOP is going to have a very big night on Tuesday. But what I really want to get into with Brad in just a moment is, why is it happening? And most importantly, is it going to be good for our people? Is it going to be different this time than one side of the coin wins and the other doesn't, as we've seen time and time and time and time before? But Brad, you wrote this. And we were just mentioning this. If all of this wasn't a clear enough sign of the trajectory of the midterms, Joe Biden and prominent Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are campaigning in California, New York, and Oregon over the past 2 weeks. Late deciders. And this is something somebody was just mentioning. A month ago, it didn't even look like it was going to be what it is shaping up to be now. Late deciders are clearly making up their minds and breaking Republican en masse to punish the Democrats. Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker are winning now after languishing in the polls pretty much the entire cycle. Sheer hatred of the libtards is carrying even the worst candidates over the finish line. Talk about that, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of not so great candidates, but, you know, like I said, you know, like I said, a lot of most people hadn't. The thing is all these people who've been undecided, who haven't been tuning into politics, but who've been showing up as polls saying the country's on the wrong track by incredible margins, who were strongly down on Joe Biden. Those people are just breaking towards Republicans. And as that happens, and it in an election breaks like that, it surges. You know, I mean, really, it's just such a bad. It's, even someone like Herschel Walker, Dr. Oz, not great, not particularly great candidates. But this is, you know, could be a red tsunami year, and we'll see how far. The thing that's most interesting to me is how far that tsunami goes. Does Kathy Hochul in New York lose? Does Gretchen Whitmer lose in Michigan? Does Democrats lose the governor race in Oregon? Or does Washington State and Colorado elect Republicans? I'm pretty sure, I'm fairly confident that Oz and Herschel Walker and Laxalt of Nevada, I think they'll win. We'll see. Arizona, New Hampshire, Colorado, and Washington State. If it's a really big night, I think it'll just all break.
You know, Oz is such a bad candidate, though. You know, he actually campaigned against Fetterman on the grounds that Fetterman had the nerve to arrest a black guy committing a crime. You know, that's the type of thing that I'm sure that a lot of the good old boys in Western Pennsylvania said, hey, he's better than I thought he was.
Yeah,
you know, when they hear something like that. But let me throw a turd in the punch bowl, figuratively speaking. What happens if it's not a red wave? What would that indicate to you, Brad?
You know, it could be just a polling error. Mostly lately, the polls have underestimated Republicans. But in every state, that's not true. I believe New Hampshire is one of those states. I believe New Hampshire is a state that has a polling error that tends to favor Republicans. Whereas in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, it tends to be Republicans who tend to be underestimated. So if maybe, you know, Democrats, you know, just bit the bullet. I don't know. it showed up in greater numbers than we thought they would.
Well, what about electoral fraud?
It could happen. It could happen. Huh?
What about electoral fraud, though? You know, what's his name? Joe Biden more or less telegraphed his punch the other night when he said that, you know, it could be a week or two before we get the final figures in it.
That is a very recent phenomenon in American politics where it takes months to figure out who won an election.
Pennsylvania and Wisconsin specifically, I think, have these laws where the counting of mail-in ballots could go on for days. And if there's any,
well, I can tell you what I think is going on, and it tracks right back to the Voting Rights Act of 65. You know, it's voter suppression if somebody – vote isn't counted. And what they mean by that is they'll stop the vote counting at some point in the night, and then they'll see if they're behind, particularly in black districts. They'll decide all these black people need to vote that haven't voted, and they'll be there, and the Republicans will be too chicken-hearted to say anything about it because, you know, we still are plagued with these normie cons that would rather drink arsenic than to admit that or to be charged with being a racist.
You know, I want to talk to Brad about that. That was a big reason I wanted to bring him on. I wanted to set the table tonight talking about the predictions, how we think it's going to look, and a little bit of analysis and insight to back up those predictions. But what happens if the GOP sweeps this? Is it going to be like it has been every time throughout my lifetime, where they basically do nothing? And
more is said than done.
We have certainly been better off the last 2 years with the Democrats being under control, or rather in control, because it has radicalized the Republican base in ways that they never would have gone had Trump still been in office. I know you agree with that, Brad.
Oh, yeah. That's been my line for 2 years, that, you know, there's been so much radicalization under Joe Biden. Will things change? Well, things have, like, startlingly changed. Oh, I've made this point on my blog a million times. It's startlingly changed on the Supreme Court, where it looks almost certain that affirmative action is going to go down next summer. And there's that voting rights, a case which could get rid of the Voting Rights Act as soon as next year. that's big. So, like, are things going to change really over the next few years? Not really, because, I mean, even if you had a red tsunami and Republicans just had a 55-seat majority in the Senate and a huge majority in the House, you still got Joe Biden, so you're going to have divided government. So it's the best case scenario is gridlock for the next few years. But here's the thing. If Republicans sweep enough of those Senate races, next year, I mean, in the next cycle, easily the Republicans could be looking at Trump being reelected with 60 votes in the Senate, enough to overcome a filibuster. So,
I've got your quote on that right here. This is a trimmed down quote, but this is what you wrote. It looks like 2022 is going to be a red wave year. Dump, as you call him, announces the revenge tour shortly after the 2022 midterms. It is conceivable that he could be restored to power, you write, in 2025 with a 60-vote Senate majority that could break a Democratic filibuster. Now, I will say this, and I'm going to give you a lot of evidence, folks, to be encouraged about in the last half of Brad's appearance tonight, the next couple of segments after the next break. I do think that this is a different Republican Party than what Trump inherited in 2016. You've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, you've got Paul Gosar, you've got a lot of rhetoric. I mean, we've been talking about it for 2 years now. There is a lot of anecdotal and really data-driven analysis that suggests that this is a different Republican Party because the Republican base is pushing these opportunists in our direction. And so I would prefer them to be true believers, but just do what we need you to do.
Well, you know what they may be is our version of the squad, people like Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
But the Republican Party at large is moving in that direction. I mean, you still have your Mitch McConnell,
there's
still
Cheney.
The old guard. Well, yeah, you see Liz Cheney, all of these people are gone. All of the people, all of the Republicans that didn't go with Trump on the election fraud claims are out. And I do trust Trump enough to do this, to look after Trump. If he got in there, I do think that his revenge would play into our hands in some ways.
It's going to be hilarious just to watch the revenge tour get underway. Like, it's going to be completely about settling sports.
Well, they're saying he may announce his run for the presidency a week after the midterms, as early as about 10 days from now.
And then Merrick Garland is going to indict Trump, and then it's going to be like all hell's going to break loose.
Well, Ted Cruz is saying they're going to impeach Garland.
what they're going to do is they're going to indict Trump under the Espionage Act so that they can try to invoke that provision that says that a person convicted under the Espionage Act cannot hold a federal governmental job, and that would include being the president. They're going to try to knock him out. I've already heard someone, I'm trying to remember who it was, listing potential candidates for the presidency for the Republican Party, and they were mentioning names like Jeb Bush and Nikki Haley.
I don't think anybody will run against Trump. I mean, you may have somebody like, what's the guy that looked like a potato out of Ohio? Dennis
Kucinich?
No. We like Dennis Kucinich. It's John Kasich. You might have somebody like that. You might have somebody like that, but if Trump announces and he announces early.
Liz Cheney's running. We'll see if she can.
Okay. Well, you're going to have an anti-Trumper or an ever-Trumper run. But I think everybody, if Trump announces as early as November, I don't think anybody's announced that early. The week after a midterm, I don't remember anybody ever announcing that early before. If he does that, I think they're all going to fall in line. But, you know, we'll see. But listen, when we come back with Brad, we're going to talk with him about reasons for hope. I know, it's Charlie Brown and the football. I have never been a lesser of two evil guys. Before Trump, I never voted for a Republican candidate or nominee for president.
That's all we ever get, the lesser of two evil.
But, there's a little bit of reason for hope on some levels of the Republican Party. We'll talk about that with Brad Griffin when we come back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. Senator Joe Manchin Saturday demanded President Biden apologize for saying coal plants all across America will be shut down in a scathing statement just days before crucial midterm elections. President Biden's comments are not only outrageous and divorced from reality, they ignore the severe economic pain the American people are feeling because of rising energy costs, Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, said. J.D. Vance, who's running for the Senate in Ohio, when asked about President Biden's comments during a town hall meeting on Fox, offered this.
The obsession that the Democrats have with eliminating fossil fuels is crazy. The idea that you can run an industrial manufacturing economy, Lori, you know this, on wind and solar is preposterous. It's why the Chinese and the Indians are building new fossil fuel facilities. And if we don't rely on our own energy, we are not going to be able to manufacture anything, and the inflation crisis is going to get worse and worse.
A House of Representatives home was fired upon.
Republican Representative candidate Pat Harrigan from North Carolina is accusing his opponent's political ads of lying and publicly displaying his home that has led to a shooting into his home and shots fired at his parents' home, lodging a few feet away from his children. Mr. Harrigan on Fox News Friday says desperation is leading Democrats to do anything to win the election.
It's because my opponent is desperate to do anything that he possibly can to talk about anything other than what actually matters in this campaign, which is the economy, inflation, rampant crime, declining educational outcomes for our kids, the crisis at the southern border. It doesn't matter what he has to manufacture. He is willing to trade my security and my family's security to score political points, and it's reprehensible.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by government.com.
The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with fully visible dates and mint marks. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver Dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25, free with every order. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver Dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-473-1745. That's 1-800-473-1745.
Back with the great Brad Griffin of OccidentalDescent.com. Should make a quick announcement. This is something that sort of came in at the last minute today. Our friends over at NationalConservative.com, Kyle Rogers and company, are hosting an online chat for TPC listeners. So this is the first time we've done this in years. When we used to do it, had a lot of people that would join in. Got a handful there right now. We are still testing out the kinks and the bugs, and I assume I'm on a desktop here in the studio.
Trying to work the kinks into it.
Working fine. But I assume it would work over a cell phone, which is how most people interact these days. But anyway, if you want to join the conversation live on the air and interact with us in real time while we're on the air, just go to, well, the easiest way to do it would be to go to my Twitter, at James Edwards TPC on Twitter. Link over to the chat room from there. It's at the top of my feed, and we'll talk to you while we're talking to Brad. Now, I want to read this from Brad very quickly. I have cherry-picked a few passages from OD in the last few days, and this is going to pretty much bring a cap to the first half of the conversation, then we'll transition. Brad writes, as I've pointed out many times before, establishment liberals and progressive activists, who are collectively around 19% of the population, believe that their faction is synonymous with American democracy. The definition of democracy is that people like themselves remain in charge. Everyone else just lives here. We have to do our duty and vote for them, because otherwise democracy, with a capital D, of course, will die in the darkness, and we will slide over the precipice into an age of brutal authoritarian fascism. In the 2022 midterms, I am feeling enthusiastic about voting for a number of reasons, Brad writes. I think Alabama Republicans are doing a good job. I don't see any downsides to turning Joe Biden into a lame duck president and limiting the damage he is capable of doing over the next 2 years. Democrats have persuaded me to engage and vote against them. They have weaponized the DOJ and the Department of Homeland Security against their political opposition. They have started a war with Russia. They have not ignited the worst inflation in my lifetime. They have doubled the price of gas. They have opened the border to allow over 5 million illegal aliens to invade the country. They have threatened to nuke the filibuster to codify Roe. They are running on mutilating the genitals of children. They're using DHS to censor the internet. They've bullied and fired people from their jobs for refusing to take the COVID vaccine while doing nothing similar about monkeypox. They have set off a crime wave and a homelessness wave in cities like Montgomery. They have spent the last 2 years sanctimoniously droning on forever about January 6th and defining themselves as democracy. They have really checked all the boxes this year, up to and including pushing the world to the brink of nuclear war. George W. Bush never even screwed up that bad. They're about to get wrecked. They have really gone out of their way to earn this. Enjoy this moment while it lasts. Brad, I thought that was a very succinct insight as to why the Democrats are going to fare so badly on Tuesday, we think.
Yeah, I mean, just look at it this way. I mean, I go by my own internal thermometer. If it's bad enough where even I am, like, excited to see them lose power, if even someone like me is going to vote, then that tells me they've really screwed up, because, you know, last two elections I didn't even vote.
Yeah, we're not Republican cheerleaders.
I'm not a Republican cheerleader. I'm a swing voter, and I mean, like, really being in a war with Russia, that's pretty extreme. But that's where they've gone.
Well, you know, a loss like this, though, Brad, will be a stunning rebuke. But will they recognize it as such? Or that, you know, they say denial is not just a river in Africa. And I've never seen denial like the denial the Democrats have about the unpopularity of their platform.
No, they'll immediately start to have a huge tantrum. I mean, that's going to be interesting. They're going to lose badly. Then Trump's going to announce he's running for president. Then I expect Merrick Garland to indict Trump. And then I expect the just roller coaster ride to 2024 to begin from there. And, wow, but I mean, do they ever
devote? Like a cat chasing its tail.
You know, here's what I don't necessarily look. I'll save this comment for the very end in summation. But is it a different GOP? So obviously, Brad, you and I are the same age. We're in the same season of life. We were married, family men, doing all that in our early 40s, and certainly throughout all of my lifetime. You know, oh, it was, you know, like every heavyweight battle, it was the fight of the century. Yeah, it was, you know, every election was the most important of our lifetime. But the difference was between Bob Dole and Bill Clinton, or George Bush and Bill Clinton, John McCain and Barack Obama, John Kerry and George. I mean, there was no difference whatsoever. And no matter who won, we lost. Is it different now, in your opinion, because of the radicalization of the GOP base? Why is it worth voting for Republicans this time?
Where it wasn't in the past.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm just getting the biggest spoon in the world, and I'm eating my own words, like, because I've said, oh, it's impossible that it ever change. And, well, the thing that has changed is that, you know, Trump came along, he brought all these new people into the GOP, and he knocked out the faction that used to run the GOP, the Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, George W. Bush types. And over the past, over the last three elections, and this will be the third one, and the one that finishes them off, that faction has been that used to be the establishment, has been completely pushed out. And now, I mean, I think, who's the GOP establishment now? It's people like, in the mold of Marjorie Taylor Greene. MAGA is the new GOP establishment. And MAGA is just getting more and more and more radical every month. I mean,
We need to watch out, though, because people like Jeb Bush and Nikki Haley are still waiting in the wings, and they're hopeful that they're going to be able to take advantage.
Sure, they would like to, but I don't see any indication of that, Brad. I mean, it seems like all the momentum is on the MAGA side, for lack of a better term.
You know,
we'll just call it MAGA for now.
Yeah, one huge part of it, James, is that, you know, we used to be in our 20s, and now we're in our 40s, and we're becoming the older voters, and everyone who's our age and younger is just so much more radical than the people who are older than us. So as people like Mitch McConnell retire, as people like Rob Portman retire and are replaced by a J.D. Vance or a Hawley or a Blake Masters, it's changing like it's just not the same ideology anymore. Just think of a few years ago when Steve King got like stripped of his committee assignments. I forgot what he said. But like, that's nothing.
Yeah, like Western civilization was good, and so basically right. Something like that.
Right, right. It's just stuff that's like, you know, not nearly as radical as what Marjorie Taylor Greene says all the time.
Yeah, and I think you've seen a change in that short of a period of time. I mean, King was still there 2 years ago. The difference between now and just 2 or 3 years ago, Brad, is the difference between, you know, decades in normal political
having
trends.
Joe Biden in there has had a real stimulating effect on the Republican base, beyond what I even thought it would be. I didn't expect people would like radicalize this fast, but that's what's happened.
But you know, we have people like Ron DeSantis and whatnot. Ron DeSantis is saying he wants to be the most pro-Israeli governor in history or something like this, trying to take advantage of this. Are they wolves in sheep clothing, or are they, are we being...
I want Brad to answer that, but I'll say this. You could always find a way not to support a guy, okay? And yes, I don't like that any more than you do, Keith. But, you know, I do like that he's saying, listen, what happened in Waukesha was an anti-white attack. You see, just that alone, Brad, is something you would never have seen 5 years ago. So there is real change. Do they mean it? Are they sincere? Are they opportunists? You know, probably opportunists.
Neocons are trying to come back up to the surface now. And, of course, they're warmongers. They're
not coming.
They try to own both sides. Well, they're behind the support of Ukraine, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but that's another thing that's going to get taken away, though. Even Kevin McCarthy is now saying, Brad, that they're going to look at stopping the feed bag to Zelensky.
The Democrats are as powerful. I mean, the neocons are as powerful in the Democratic Party now as they were under George W. Bush way back in the day.
That was always their point. That, you know, they said of the Jews in Europe that they like to own both sides of each coin. They like to be represented in the Democrats and in the Republicans.
That's a great point by Brad. And to your point, Keith, the neocons are still there. They're just all Democrats now. I mean, they were to begin with, but now they don't even pretend to be Republicans. They've all shifted, and they're all over there now.
They're all anti-Trump, that's for sure.
But there has been – this was something our friend Paul Kersey wrote this week, and I'm sure you'd agree with it, Brad. There's been such an energy shift, he writes. If you've been paying attention since 2012, going back a decade now to the political climate, it's starting to feel roughly – like 2015 again, only this time being called a racist no longer works. And with regards to the prospects of the GOP sacking the House and the Senate this week, Paul Kersey wrote, the question becomes this: has the stigma of being called racist ended? And if so, Or perhaps that was you that wrote that, Brad. Those Republican leaders today don't matter. They are no. This was, I believe, Paul. I've got yours underneath this. They are a bridge to tomorrow, where implicit whiteness becomes explicit. So are we sort of on that transitional path right now? Do you believe? Is it possible?
Unquestionably, there has been a sea change over the last 3 years. We've talked about it a million times. It shows up in every single poll of the Republican base. How concerned they are about, like, you know, hatred of whites and, like, how close to the surface all that is. And you know, and the Democrats have used every name in the book. And they're about losing a landslide, so that's going to even further entrench it if they lose after going all out like this.
One more segment with Brad Griffin. Hey, you want to talk to Brad? Come to our chat hosted by nationalconservative.com. Go to
Hello,
the top
TPC
on Twitter
family.
We'll be right back.
It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
And welcome back. One more segment. If you can believe it, what a fast hour so far. So much more to come. Jose Nino. We got to know Jose earlier this year. This guy's got a lot of talent. I mean, this is an insightful guy. He's going to be back on with us in the second hour as we continue this conversation. Third hour, we're going to talk about the noticing with John Friend of the Barnes Review. And we're going to get to all of that in good time. But first, one more segment with Brad Griffin. So talking about how some elements of the Republican Party are changing, and there's just no doubt that it is. The base has certainly changed, and the representatives are trying to keep up and keep a pace. Kevin McDonald wrote this week, anti-white hate on the left has become a mainstream talking point among conservatives. Now, here is a national television ad, Brad. I don't know if you've heard it yet. I bet you money Keith hasn't. I'm about to play it. A national television ad being run by Republican operatives. Tell me if you would have heard a national television ad. This has been run in Georgia. That if you would have heard something like this a couple of years ago from the Republican Party, the establishment. Okay, here it is.
When did racism against white people become okay? Joe Biden put white people last in line for COVID relief funds. Kamala Harris said disaster aid should go to non-white citizens first. Liberal politicians block access to medicine based on skin color. Progressive corporations, airlines, universities, all openly discriminate against white Americans. Racism is always wrong. The left's anti-white bigotry must stop. We are all entitled to equal treatment under law. America First Legal paid for this ad.
Okay, so that's not something that Jared Taylor or Peter Brimelow, God bless them, put together for Ameren or V-Day respectively. This is something that GOP operatives are airing on national television now, Brad. Hey,
I'm just telling you what's going on. What do you think?
No, we've crossed a bridge when they do run that in New York.
Like, yeah, anywhere. I mean, listen, I mean, anywhere.
Your ears perk up and you hear that, and then you think to yourself, your memory kicks in of what the GOP has been throughout your entire lifetime, and then you have to like reassess like your relationship to it. I mean, it sounds like, it just sounds like the gap is just closed to such an extent that they're like talking like you would read, you know, on our sites. Now, I mean, Great Replacement's out there, that stuff's out there. It just goes to show like how much the Republican base has changed, that they think that's the kind of stuff that's going to motivate their voters.
It shows how effective your website and ours is.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're gradually in the process of transitioning from being fringe and extreme to like, I think like 5 years from now, people like us will be the Republican establishment. The rate we're going, it'll be a weird transition. I mean, I think like people like Bill Kristol, they're the fringe now. Like Liz Cheney is fringe.
That's where the transition is. It is transitioning from that era into this, and you have people now. I mean, we named a couple: Gozer, Green, and others. And it's building. I mean, you've had J.D. Vance. You've had a lot of people make statements like this. And on the state legislature level, you've got countless that would not shy away from something like this. And so I think it is becoming more real. I think it is becoming tangible and palpable. And as you wrote, Brad, this week, if Democrats lose this election, which all indicators point that they will, I don't know if there's enough election fraud that they could bring that would stop this one, they will have maxed out all of their killer buzzwords. Far. Yeah, I mean, racist, sexist, transphobe, fascist, white supremacist, election denier.
Well, you know,
that's not working anymore.
It's incredible you mentioned Bill Kristol and people like that, because there was a great article in Occidental Observer recently about, is this the end of the golden age for American Jews? And
it is.
Of course, that's what Kristol and people like that are. They have basically controlled both sides of each coin. They've controlled the Republicans and the Democrats. And the fact that we're talking about racism against white people seems to indicate to me that people like Kristol and Max Boot, people like that, are David French, are losing power. They are fringe now.
Right. Me and you are going to be the establishment, and they're going to be the outsider.
I'm going to put on weight and buy a cigar, okay? So I can meet the I look like the establishment.
So Brad, I have taken so much of your work and cited it. I mean, you were so good at scouring the polls and putting it all up there. I mean, going back to a couple of years ago, right after the Biden inauguration, we were seeing.
That was the turning point. I tried to draw people's attention to that. That was the real turning point. Is when I was looking at all these polls and I was like, my God, what's going on here? And now 2 years later. Now, 2 years later, like from the eve of the midterms, and people are discussing the Jewish question openly, and it's happened that fast. And
Kyrie Irving, Kanye
West.
Hey,
I gotta tell you, Trey Garrison put out something last night that made me laugh. It said the white nationalist Hotep friendship is back on. If you've seen black Twitter lately and black social media, go to hashtags I Stand With Kyrie, Free Kyrie. You go to any of this stuff, and they are naming them in ways. We're going to talk about this. That's going to be the whole third hour, folks, so stay tuned for that. I'll give you a little teaser. That's what we're going to be talking about with John Friend in the third hour. I'm telling you, this whole thing is very tenuous now for the
system.
Their
coalition is falling apart.
Well, and so, you know, and on one hand, I say, Brad, look, I want to believe that our people are people who are at least open to ideas enough to be influenced by the undercurrent of the GOP. If they're opportunists, they'll go along with it. Whatever, just do it. And you know, that's one thing that I'm proud of our evangelical brethren about. You had a poll about this. 2011, they wouldn't have voted for somebody. You know, the purity spiraled into oblivion, but now it went from 30% of evangelicals to 71% who say,
I don't care what they are in their personal life, as long, basic, I'm paraphrasing, as long as they do their bidding. And this goes to Herschel Walker, I think. They were trying to shame him as being, well, he paid for abortions, allegedly. I don't care if he paid for abortions. I don't care if Donald Trump got urinated on by Russian whores. I don't care about any of that. If they build a wall, and listen, I can guarantee you, Herschel Walker would probably vote pro-life. It's, you know, Warnock won't. So, I mean, what
He's
are you
gonna
thinking
be like-
if you're...
Some people change for the better, others don't.
I don't care about a person's moral failings. I mean, look, I do, but if it comes down between a guy with moral failings who's going to do what I want him to do and a guy with moral failings that don't, I'll vote for a hypocrite. I don't give a damn.
I don't care about consistency.
Whatever it takes to win. Just right. Win, baby. But, you know, I don't know if we're going to see a back and forth now, because so when Trump got elected, you had Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorism for years, especially from the summer of St. Floyd on in through the election. And then now with Biden, you have the radicalization of the Republican base. I do concern myself that Republican radicals in the Trump voting bloc will go back to complacency if the GOP takes it, and especially if Trump is reinstated in a couple of years. But if that radicalizes the Democrats again, and if we can just go that way a couple of times more until the whole system collapses, I'm okay with that too. Because it is getting so much more contentious. You talk about the political stress level and all this. This is going to have to blow. It has to blow.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly see how the dominoes. Republicans crush Democrats in the Congress. And then, it's like fascism and democracy has collapsed and fascism has won. And then Merrick Garland
indicts
Trump.
Have you noticed how things have changed from back in the 60s? You know, the Democrats used to be the peace and love party. Now they're the war hawks.
Definitely.
They used to be the people who supported the working class. Now they're as anti-working class as you could imagine.
Yeah, you don't have to go back to the 60s to find change. And, Brad, I want to go give you the last 3 minutes totally uninterrupted just to go with you. Final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience. Go by too fast with you, brothers. It always does. One last poll you cited this week, 53% of Republican voters. That's the majority of Republican voters. This is just another poll of many we could cite. Believe that the government is controlled by a secret cabal. So, yeah, I think that things are trending in our way. What do we do with it, though?
Part of it is, I think we have to realize how normalized and mainstream we have become. Like a lot of the stuff, just because we were saying stuff that was really out there 10 years ago, it's not really out there anymore. And if that's the case, and all these barriers to politics have collapsed, what's going to happen? Is the SPLC going to call you a racist? They do that to everybody now. I was urging you to run for U.S. Senate. I think you might get elected Tennessee.
I tell you, this was the year. If Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz and some of these guys, there is something to that. And you know, the ADL, the SPLC was sort of like the farm league team to the ADL. The ADL's really lost a lot of credibility. I mean, they are powerful. I mean, they're trying to, as you put it, buck break Musk and West. But, and again, that's coming up in the third.
And the blacks in particular are just coming at them. You know, they're not going to be cowed by them. And
they're not used to being cowed.
They're not, it's their manhood's at stake. They're not going to be cowed, and I mean, that's bad news for the Jews.
All right, last word to you on this one, Brad, and all that. We're going to talk all about that more with the forthcoming guest. Final word to you.
Last word is just stay tuned. I mean, it's, everything's going to hit the fan next week. And
get a bag of popcorn, sit back and watch it.
Just enjoy the sheer misery of how miserable these people are going to be and how insane they're going to be over next week.
Well, that's the thing.
It's going to come at you really fast. It'll come at you really fast. So you, buckle up.
Got to savor the moment, because I don't know if the Republican Party at large deserves to win, but I am going to.
They'll be back.
They're disappointing us.
Probably, but then
that's what I said. I mean, if it radicalizes the left and then they come back and do their thing, and if it, you go a few more cycles like this and it all collapses, I can live with that too.
Right. Yeah. But
the thing is, I will still enjoy. I'm going to overdose on their tears this weekend. Trump was Trump, and the pros and cons could be debated for years, but the night that I saw their pain in Hillary's loss It was a euphoric tingle.
You know, that's the reason why I want Trump rather than DeSantis. I've never seen anyone that could drive the left crazier than Trump.
And we need them to be crazy. We need them to make mistakes, and they've made mistakes, and it's played into our hands, and we're seeing the results of their mistakes right now. We just need to back and forth it a couple of more times. This whole thing may teeter. Hey, Brad Griffin, one of our all-time favorite guests, OccidentalDescent.com. Support the work of Brad.
Thanks, one of the greatest minds
and certainly one of the greatest writers we've got. What an asset. Brad Griffin, thank you, brother. Talk to you soon. We'll be back with Jose Nino in the second hour.